You can go ahead.
What have you been up to lately, dude?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's it. Yep.
All
been working
today.
On this, to be honest.
Yeah, it took us a minute.
I half-assed worked for a little bit, and then I just started trying to make sure this was going to work out.
Which took us like an hour.
Yeah, well, you an hour since you've been here. Working on this since probably about four.
So I hope we sound good.
No, I think we do. Yeah. We're here today on That's Movies, Brother. Brand new podcast.
You said we wouldn't be doing this.
Yep, I know,
this
but we're doing it. We're this far. And we're talking about 2019 in review movies. What'd you like? What'd you see? What'd you hate other than Rise of Skywalker? What even happened? What sum up 2019. Was that a good year? Was that a good year for movies overall? I think it was all right. Pretty good.
Watch as much as I wanted to watch. I have a whole list of movies that I saw in theaters.
Right.
I marked ones we saw either together or have both seen.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I have a list
I
haven't
saw.
Seen.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I kind of did a similar list of as far as like stuff I wanted to see and I didn't see.
You know what hurts my feelings?
What?
I asked what you're up to and how you're doing, but you didn't ask me.
How you doing?
I'm
Tyler
right.
Gillette. Actor.
Oh, Jeebus.
Podcast aficionado.
I did just get my headshots done today, which
wow,
you knew.
Wow, wow. Full body, nude?
No, is I that, did full body shots that,
okay,
with clothing
right.
on.
I feel like...
Yeah.
Do what? You do like behind shots or is it all just like forward facing? Is anybody looking
what
for that?
What does that mean?
Like, you know, just of like basically your ass, right?
I guess that depends on what kind of movie industry you want to get into.
Well, come on. I mean, okay, like Scarlett Johansson, before she went into Avengers, that was definitely a consideration as far as the producers, right? Like how that was all going to look in that leather suit. Not
so
to sound creepy, but they needed to know.
So they said, yeah, with your submission, I know you got your headshot and resume, but make sure we get that shot where
not
you're just
a close up,
facing the other way.
Yeah, just facing the other way. I just want to see the whole package.
I'm going to have to go with no.
Yeah, probably not.
I didn't do any of those today.
Well, that's how you get the real gigs.
Those of you who don't know, this is clearly a movie podcast, but I want to do more than just talk about movies.
Oh, yeah?
I want to be in them, dude.
You want to be? Oh.
So that's what I was
how
doing,
about TV
getting
shows?
Headshots done.
Did you be in this?
Yeah.
Is that too lowbrow for you?
What's wrong with a TV show? Are we just not allowed to talk about TV shows on here? Only movies?
No, actually, I was hoping you, because I feel like I've watched a lot of TV shows.
We kind of have to.
Yeah. Have
like
you watched any TV
Mandalorian?
Shows?
I mean, I'm wearing
Oh, that's right. You are wearing a Baby Yoda jacket,
hoodie.
Which is a hoodie, one yep. of those. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
We should talk about Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't a movie, but it's still kind of 2009. Wait, when did that come out?
No, this year. Yeah, it started in September.
No.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, because it was only one a week.
And there were eight of them, so that's
that
8 weeks.
Sense.
No, actually, must have started in October.
I was behind with it. Like, when I watched it, I didn't
yeah,
watch
didn't
it right when it
yeah,
came
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Like, I tried, but then, like, you know, life.
Happens. Not
then
me.
I watched.
I've heard of it, though.
I watched them whenever I could, and then I watched two episodes, and then had one more episode. So, like, the second to last and one before that, I watched those two. I was like, I'm going to go to bed. I'll watch the next one next day. I said that like while up to myself while I'm in the middle of watching second to last episode.
Right.
And then that ended. And it's like the only episode that like goes straight into the other one without like a break. Because there are other ones are like very episodic.
You're 7 to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I immediately was like, well, I have to watch this now. Anyways, we can get more into that. But yes.
2019 in general.
I got my
what'd you think?
Headshots
oh, sorry.
Done
yeah, continue with that.
With that. But do you ever, the reason I'm talking about this is because I feel like you don't have a similar thing because you never have had headshots done.
That's
but
not
okay.
true.
What? Okay,
yeah.
Story. What?
Yeah. Well, I see one called headshots, but you get like like senior photos
yeah,
done
okay.
professionally.
I was literally just
yeah.
going to say that to bring that up to you.
I guess that's the only time
well,
I've had
when
this
you get
taken,
photos
but...
taken of you in a way of like more than just like, photo, post that to Instagram, which you don't, whatever. Anyways, I feel like you always have like a, especially if you're wearing something specific, like you always are picturing yourself of how it's going to look. Like you're seeing what the photo shoot will look like, the picture will look like when
before
it comes
out. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you want it to look a certain way. And by a certain way, I just mean good, basically. But you ever have like those days where you're like, all right, cool. I'm looking nice today. Like you know how you look as a human. You walk in front of the mirror. You see yourself in front of the mirror every day. And some days you just feel like today's your day. You're looking good.
There's
days
where you're walking
like maybe not a 10 out of 10, but you know, like I'd rate myself like a 9 out of 10 a day or a 10 out of 10. But usually, you know, like at the you're like that's not where you normally rest on the scale of 1 to 10.
Do you think
you know what I'm saying? A good day.
Yeah, but for me, a lot of that comes from like if I like pick out like a really good like fit. You know what I mean? Like I'm wearing like the clothing part of it has also, a big part of it. Like I don't just wake up, you know, especially looking down at all I got going on and say, yeah, I'm about it. This is me.
That's a 10.
Yeah, that's a 10.
No, but like even like when you wake up and like you take a shower, like you do your hair, whatever you have to do, just like, you know, basic upkeep kind of stuff. Sure. Like your hair has to be laying perfect that way. Sometimes it just seems your face is shifted in the correct manner that day. You have those days every once in a while. So like when I have like when I was getting my headshots and knew that they were today, I was like, I hope today is that day. I hope I'm feeling it.
Was today that day?
I don't know. See, it was like I felt
like
it was
60% of that day.
Yeah, and I felt like I like so anyways, they got done. I saw a couple of them. I'm happy with them. That's all I'm saying. But I feel like you have those days where you just feel better than other days. And then you just get worried and nervous, you know?
Plus, you know, acting isn't all about just looking good.
No, but they got to see you.
Yeah, but it's I mean, like Steve Buscemi is a famous actor, and he is a terrible-looking man.
What?
Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
He's a
I was hoping to ease
successful
into that.
Actor.
Yeah, I was,
and he's terrible looking.
I was gonna say, so you're just gonna say he's awful looking, but you just came out with it. I was trying to ease into it.
Yes,
but you just.
I think everyone can say objectively that Steve Buscemi is unfortunately terrible looking,
<He's a
which
character.
Is fine. He's a great guy. I'm sure. Actually, I don't know, but I like him as far as acting goes. He's always, you know, he made a good Randall in Monsters, Inc. That's the first thing I can think of him being in.
the one movie where his looks aren't portrayed in any way.
I don't know. He probably looks a little bit like the lizard, right? well, that's good. That's good. All right.
Before we get into all the stuff last year, though, or do we want to talk about like stuff that's happening right now? Like,
so one
movie
thing
news.
I was kind of thinking about was obviously the Oscar nomination just came out. And on Best Picture, you'll see one that
today,
surprised me.
It is January 17th.
Yeah, so this is already like almost a week old, but and it will definitely be at least a week old by the time this gets out. But the one of the movies that surprised me was 1917, which for me just came out last Friday. To most theaters. Now, that movie officially apparently came out in, like, England, like, December 5th when I was looking it up. But it didn't have a widespread release until January. So I'm like, is that really a contender for last year's, if it didn't have a widespread release?
Did they push it to be released somewhere else so they could hope it to be an Oscar contender?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm assuming.
I mean, I don't know. But if they did, I mean, isn't that a little, I feel like it shouldn't really work that way. You know what I mean? It should be. Because you shouldn't try to, in my opinion, you shouldn't disconnect what Oscar nominations are from what people can actually see. You know,
or what
like
people
normal
actually
people,
like.
Right? Yeah. Well, sure. I mean.
Well, yeah, but also you're not going to know if they like it if they haven't seen it.
It shouldn't be a popularity contest.
Well,
I mean, it
I
should
agree.
Just be an objective look at, you know, it should be a award of achievement.
Yeah.
Right? But it should be an award of achievement for that year. And if a movie didn't come out to general audiences last year, should it be considered? I don't know. I think that was like a little bit of a irk to me because really it should be a 2020 movie because that's what the vast majority of people are going to view it as.
Yeah, give and take. I mean, I just say that because I don't think it really matters if it came out at that point.
So it's really just if it came out before the Oscars, basically.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's because that's really what you're talking about. I mean, the Oscars shouldn't be in February anyway. I mean, I don't know why they always are.
Well, I'm not even saying if it came out before the Oscars. I'm just saying if it came out
at
all.
If it technically came out in last year, which it did, technically, but no one saw it. You couldn't just see it as a normal person.
Yeah, because then it's 50-50. You can flip a coin and be like, well, it came out then. I wonder if they can choose. Probably not.
They wouldn't want to. It'd be a lot harder to get Best Picture if your movie came out in January than it would be if your movie came out in December because it's going to be out of everybody's mind by the time they're choosing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if you can choose, like if you're the producer of the movie or whatever, you can be like, if it falls in that weird state, if you can choose, hey, can this come out? Or can we consider this a 20 19 movie for the Oscars.
No, because I think it's voted on by their, like, you know, 5,000 strong Academy Awards committee or whatever. Right. All the people on that list, they just vote for whatever they want and whatever gets on. I'm pretty sure that's how it works, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So it's not really up to the movie. It's just whether or not its official date is whatever. I don't know. I just thought that was a little bit weird.
And I do have some... I kind of want to talk about just the Oscars, but I feel like we might need to wait a little bit.
Especially since I've only seen about four, well, as far as Best Picture goes, which that's the main, I mean, there's, you know, I don't have the full list of best, who's on the Best Actor, Best, I looked at it, but I don't know it offhand about all the other things. So we'll talk about that, especially when it comes on to, about to happen or whatever.
And also with just how they're structured and what you think about the Oscars and how they're voted on. There's a lot that I think we can talk about the Oscars.
Well,
but
I think we can talk about one thing, is that I've been seeing a lot on like Twitter and stuff like that, that some people are upset about, especially one specific movie, which I don't think either of us have seen, because it came out relatively recently, Uncut Gems. Have you heard of that
one? Oh, yeah.
So apparently that got quote-unquote snubbed. Now, haven't seen it, can't comment on it. Might be really good. I don't know. That part of it's fine. I mean, movies get snubbed. The wrong thing wins all the time. You know, all that's kind of up in the air. It's your opinion. It's subjective, basically. But the problem is that I also hear, in line with the, oh, Uncut Gems got snubbed, they'll also say, awards on art is dumb. Or art shouldn't be given awards, or shouldn't be compared like that. And I'm like, that, like, movies have an objective quality to them that you can definitely compare standards to, as far as this is good, this is bad. You know, I mean, you can see the difference between The Godfather and Pixels or whatever that movie was.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying, or the Emoji Movie or something like that. Like, there's a difference, clearly,
in
the two things that you're comparing. And you can give art awards, from my point of view, but I want to hear yours.
No, I think that you can. I think that you should. But I think that it depends on what you're comparing. I think you can kind of say, oh, this is a better movie. And I agree with that. I think there are better movies than others. But even then, it all depends on kind of who you're talking to, almost, because somebody might just like some like stupid slapstick kind of comedy that kind of means nothing. It's just more entertaining for them. But I think it's kind of about pushing boundaries too, because I think you want to award people performances and technical advancements, because it's always like, as time goes on with movies and stuff, things are getting better. You know, it's advancing.
Sure.
And I think it's important to kind of award that. That doesn't mean that you can't get an award for doing something really good that's been done. But I'm just saying that, like, I think a lot of it does have to do with advancements, because I'm trying to kind of think of exactly how I want to word this.
Right, because you don't want to just focus too much on, oh, this took a big risk, or this did something new, and ignore its other qualities that make it, you know, maybe objectively bad, right? I think that there's a lot of subjective qualities to movies that are up in opinion, how you feel about them personally. Like, for example, I'm not a big fan of musicals. So automatically, if I see any musical, it's almost always going to go down in my book. That is completely on me. That is my opinion. It's just not for me, right? That's not my thing. But at the same time, there are things about movies that are objective that you can to finally like argue and say this is good and this is bad. For example, if you saw an entire movie where the guy behind the camera was holding the camera at an angle, like tilted, opposed to being level, it would distract you the entire time. And maybe it's experimental,
quote
unquote.
Artistic choice.
Artistic choice. It would be bad. Because all I can think about, hold the camera right.
Yeah.
That's all I can think the whole movie, right? Like, no. There are things like that. Or if it just had, say, bad audio. Is bad audio an artistic choice, or is that just bad movie making?
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that it should only be advancements. I'm saying I think that is a part of it for sure. I think that when something, example, Avatar. You remember when Avatar came out?
Avatar shouldn't win Best Picture. It didn't.
But my point is, I also agree with that. I think it just kind of depends. I agree with the fact of, like, just because somebody does something new and different doesn't mean it's necessarily good. I think just what I'm trying to say is it is hard when you try to, you know, compare art. But again, I think it all depends on kind of what you're comparing. And that's why they split up into categories. I mean, simple enough.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think that the idea that you can't give, like, that we shouldn't be giving art awards or movies specifically.
Yeah.
Because that is inherently comparative to other art and other movies. I think that idea is a bit flawed, and it doesn't hold up to scrutiny, I guess. But that's it. We can kind of move on.
So some recent stuff. Again, this is January 17, 2019. So jumping 20. Wow, I'm already messed up. 2020. So jumping back to present day stuff. Morbius trailer.
Morbius?
Morbius. Do you know who Morbius is?
I do not.
Morbius is the living vampire. It is a Marvel comic.
Never heard of it.
It is Sony.
It's a Sony.
So this is the next movie coming out in the Sony Spider-Verse.
That's a comic version of the universe. That's a Marvel comic that Sony's making a movie off of. They bought Morbius as well with Spider-Man.
They didn't, but they already had him. Sony owns a couple properties.
That's weird.
Because Morbius, I believe, was technically introduced in a Spider-Man comic as a villain, and he's an anti-hero. He changed into like a hero. He's now like an anti-hero.
Mm.
He's the living vampire. So basically, he's a vampire. He has like vampire powers. You know who's playing him?
No. Who?
Jared Leto.
Interesting.
Yes. Anyways, the trailer dropped a couple days ago, not even a week ago. And I kind of want to show you right now, and then we can talk about it. What do you think? Briefly, we don't have to. Again, we're dragging a lot of things out, but
pause the podcast, right?
Hmm?
We have to pause the podcast, right?
Probably.
Yeah, we can't.
If you want,
that weird
or we can kind of
background and just be silent.
Yeah, we'll pause it. We'll come back.
Yeah, hold on. Wow.
All right, so we just watched it. I've already seen it. What
right.
do you think?
It's very interesting. Not a big Jared Leto fan myself.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of
me recently, and with a lot of his stuff that I've seen of his, you know. But
so a couple things I want to address, which I know we're going to talk about. This is something we could talk about in depth, but not probably on this podcast. But this is weird because it's setting up even further Sony's like Spider-Man universe
that is connected but separate from the Avengers.
Yeah,
MCU.
Yeah. So there is a moment in this trailer where. So I'm more interested in how it's all connecting than I am in actual Morbius itself.
Yeah, because it's basically just he turns into a vampire.
Yeah, so like I don't know if it's going to be good, maybe. I don't know. Won't know until it comes out.
Yeah.
The only thing I can actually analyze is the fact of like how it's going to connect. Because in one moment during the trailer, I don't even know his name, but whoever Morbius is, Jared Leto, walks by down the street. There's a poster of Spider-Man on the wall, and it says murderer. So Spider-Man is involved. And obviously this happens after Spider-Man Far From Home.
Right.
Because, spoilers, at the end of that movie, if you haven't seen it, then sorry, don't listen. But at the end of that movie, he's outed as Peter Parker, and he's framed to have killed Mysterio.
Right.
Quentin Beck. So he's a murderer. So they're framing him at this point. He's the vigilante or whatever. So it's after that. And then at the very end of this trailer, we see Vulture.
Michael Keaton.
What is his name?
Michael,
why am I blanking?
Oh, the character name?
Yeah, whatever. But we see him, and I don't know if he's out of jail at this point, whatever, but he doesn't look like he's in jail. He's about like a helicopter or something. So, and he's meeting up. So maybe they're setting up the Sinister Six, which I thought was going to be a thing, which is, you know, six of Spider-Man's villains all come together, and they've had a different roster, just like Avengers have had a different roster. They realize they can't kill Spider-Man on their own. They all join together, try to kill Spider-Man. Cool. But I don't understand because they're supposed to be linked to the Avengers, but then not. And then this movie seems like it's even further removed. It almost seems like this movie has to be related to Spider-Man, and the Spider movies are related to the Avengers and everything else, but their side movies can't be related to the Avengers.
Yeah, I mean,
because they can't. I don't think Morbius is allowed to then talk about. They can talk about what happens in Spider-Man, but they can't talk about what happens in Avengers movies.
Yeah, because of film rights and whatnot.
But if you talk about what's happening in Spider-Man, which is affected by Avengers in the MCU.
Well, that's not necessarily true because the Far From Home has obviously ties to Avengers.
I think that's all that's allowed to have ties to it. But again, Sony and Disney just re-upped their contract.
I don't know what's
so
in it. Nick Fury could show up in Morbius. Who knows? I mean, you know.
I just think that if you have a movie that's tied to a movie that's tied to a universe, but the movie tied to the movie can't tie to the universe. It can only tie to the movie that's tied to the universe. Am I making sense? No, exactly. How can you try to put this into theaters and make it make sense? Like, they need to figure it out. Maybe they have, and we don't know yet because they made a new deal. But it convolutes things even for, like, even fans like me who try as much as they can to keep like with it. I can keep with it, but it's like it's once they announce what's kind of going on, because how are we supposed to understand what's happening from this trailer? One, you're not. They want to intrigue you, but it just it's interesting, and I just wanted to see what you thought of it, because it
yeah, it's definitely
things.
Weird. I don't know about the actual movie itself. Yeah, I think the how it ties everything in is more interesting, because it that trailer didn't exactly like you know pull me in and intrigue me, but at the same time that could be my personal biases against Jared Leto. I mean he's fine. It just hasn't impressed me that much recently. But yeah, I don't understand how that's really gonna all tie in together. I guess we'll just have to see. Honestly, the Marvel stuff seems really fragmented right now in general. It seems like it's in a weird place. And so adding this new loop of ours, what Sony can do, what they can't talk about, how involved they are, it's going to feel very much like the Netflix Marvel shows for me, where it's like right. they reference the Avengers, but the Avengers will never reference them,
yeah,
kind of a thing.
Let me clarify something. I'm assuming, again, that everybody listening to this knows what all this means, and they might not. So
yeah,
a very, 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 very quick recap. Mm-hmm. Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man. Disney owns the rights to all the Marvel properties, Marvel Studios, so they have all their characters. The only way Spider-Man was able to be in Avengers and all their movies is because Sony and Disney, who owns Marvel Studios, made an agreement that they can use him for a certain amount of films, and they help out with Spider-Man standalone films such as Homecoming, Far From Home, and they kind of work together in that way. But as far as Spider-Man, so that's kind of how that works. And it's only for a certain amount of movies that he's allowed to do that until they re-up their deal, which they just did. So he's in a couple other movies. But once that's up, it's just like, oh, he just doesn't exist in MCU anymore. We don't know because the deal is still going on.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it works. They legally can't just have Spider-Man in their movies and like make all the money off of it unless the two studios come to an agreement where they're kind of sharing the rights to him, which is kind of what's happening. But as far as the characters that are related to Spider-Man, it's very unclear. Like, who, like, Sony has certain characters related to Spider-Man, including Morbius. It's like, so where does he fit into the MCU with, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, and everything that's happened to them, and, like, all that storyline? It's like, we don't know. So that's why it gets really confusing. But that's all. I don't really want to talk about it too much, because then we're just going to talk about Marvel this whole time.
Yeah.
I just was curious about that one trailer of how it kind of, it just you know, opens up questions of how everything's kind of going to connect.
Tie in and continue.
All right.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think we're good, so we can just actually talk about 2019 in review now.
Yeah, the only other news that I actually have, I can kind of talk about when we talk about some of those movies, because it kind of relates, except for Doolittle.
Oh.
Came out today.
Oh, it did.
So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Gotcha.
Do you care about it or not? That's all I want to know.
I don't. It wasn't until this movie, with the trailers anyway, came out that I didn't even know that Dr. Doolittle was like a, I guess, some kind of fable or something like that. Something older than
Eddie
Murphy.
Made, yeah.
It was Eddie Murphy, right?
Well, it's a bunch of people have. It's like all the other characters where
right.
they step in and there's new
I
people playing
Dr.
him.
I thought Dr. Doolittle was just an Eddie Murphy thing. I thought they just wrote that movie, they put him in there, and it was just him. I did not know that it went anywhere beyond that.
I didn't
that.
Either. I didn't know what this is based off of. But the Dr. Doolittle movies I don't really like, where he's like a vet, could talk to animals. I'm over it. I don't really care. It's kind of campy, cheesy, and hey, if that's entertaining you, cool. But
I think it'll be interesting to see how it hurts or helps Robert Downey Jr.'s career.
I do want to see it though, because
Marvel.
I like the idea of it, that they're taking a new spin on Doolittle, and maybe it's because he's a fable. I didn't know that. I'm not super impressed with some of the visuals. Look cool, except for the CGI. Animals in the trailer don't look so great
to have an opinion on that, to be honest.
Just from watching the trailers, the animals looked fake to me.
Yeah,
that's all. I'm just curious. I'm probably gonna see it because it did just come out. I want to see how it kind of varies to some of the other Doolittle movies.
You think you'll see it in theaters?
I don't know.
That seems like a wait for to go on HBO kind of a
I will say, if that helps kind of my opinion on it, it doesn't intrigue me enough to be like, I gotta see this in theaters right now. But I'm also always kind of curious as to what else Robert Downey Jr. is doing after, you know, Iron Man.
I mean, it seems like a family film, right? Like that's what it's implied for.
Right.
So it's not right up my alley.
That's all. That's pretty much all the news that we've had recently. If all the ones we can talk about, if we actually want to talk about movies from last year.
Yeah. I think it's about time.
Yeah. Probably. Hey, we talked about one.
We did.
Do you want to jump on the bad movie train? Or
does
it matter?
I was just going to ask you how you kind of felt about 2019 as a year. Because I kind of, to be honest, we both did research over probably the past week over the last year, just to make in preparation for this, to kind of see where we thought. When I first started, I thought 2019 was kind of crap. Like, I don't remember watching that many good things. But when I summed it all up and I saw a couple extra movies that I missed and I wanted to flesh myself out, I was kind of like, you know what? 2019 year was a pretty good year for movies, I think.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, how many movies did you see?
Out of what I've seen, that's all. So that doesn't mean it's... Okay, yeah. So that doesn't mean it's a bad year for movies. Right. From what I've... When I saw...
I mean, there's a lot of garbage in my list.
Yeah.
I saw about 30 movies.
Really?
Yeah. Not all in theaters, obviously, but everything on the list has come out in 2019.
From what I found, I saw 13 in theaters. Mm-hmm. And maybe more. I just recently watched Marriage Story because it came out, Oscar contender, and we were wanting to both watch it. That was a Netflix movie. Sorry, not Oscar contender, Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
Best picture.
I mean, I guess technically the same thing. Yeah.
But, point being that that is another movie, so that would bump it up to 14. And I'm sure there's more that have come out that I saw, I just didn't think of or find when I was researching. But my list of movies that I haven't seen that I wanted to see was also pretty, pretty big too.
Yeah. I mean, me seeing more movies doesn't lend, I guess maybe. Statistically, for this one argument of how good was 2019, yeah. I guess maybe it does give me a bit more like kind of credence for my argument, but you know, it's not really all that important. It's just kind of I just personally opinion how you thought about it, which I don't know if you wanted to go into more detail.
Not really. I mean, I think we'll get there when we go over the movies in a little more specifically. Yeah. There were some good ones, some bad, but it just I don't want to say bad. I'm just saying that it was like, eh. To me, from what I've saw, what I've seen, I didn't see a lot of things that were like...
Which, I know you didn't see any of them because it's not your thing, but horror movies this year were pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't
from
watch.
What I saw. Although I did not see Dr. Sleep, which
I don't like to be scared. I don't like it. Why do you like to be scared, brother?
It's invigorating.
Brother, no.
I know Dr. Sleep, which is the technical sequel to The Shining, was a big deal for a lot of people. It's actually a big deal for me. That's why I haven't watched it yet, because I want to watch The Shining first again, because I haven't seen it in a little while.
I've never seen The Shining.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I'll have to watch that, and then the watch movie, we can talk about
Doctor Sleep. But so I haven't seen that at all. So I can't talk on that. But out of what I saw, which was let's see, I guess Midsommar, which is probably best out of them.
I didn't see that. I didn't even put that on my list. I forgot that came out last year.
Which is the what the guy's name is Ari Aster, a brand new director who had made Hereditary, both A24. No, Ari Aster. Yeah, I know. I almost said Ad Astra as his name. But Hereditary, which came out last year, I'm sorry, 2018, was really good. Loved Hereditary. The Midsommar came out. I liked Midsommar a lot, but it's honestly a dark comedy more than it is a horror movie, which is a little weird. Might be a little weird to hear think, but I was laughing during that movie. It's so ridiculous.
Wait, which one?
Midsommar, okay, which is for a general synopsis, you'll probably never see this movie because it is not up your alley at all. But it's, you know, this group of like late college, probably late 20s, honestly, so like almost more of like doctorate grad students go to Sweden.
Is it
like
a
little
horror
town
movie?
It is.
Forget it.
Yeah, it's this this little cult town in Sweden where one of their friends is from, and it's this crazy cult where they, you know, weird shit starts to go down. But the weird part about it is that it's all like there's no dark scenes. It's never showed at night. It's always like perfectly. Oh well, that's a. I forgot. That's a total thing. There's no, because of how north they are and the weird part of the thing. It's never night there, for this part of the year. So when they spend a week or so up there, I can't exactly remember how long. It's never night. So all the scenes are dark, which is really weird for a horror movie, obviously. But I really kind of viewed it more as a dark comedy. We won't talk too much about it because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
But there's Midsommar, there was Brightburn, which is a ridiculous movie.
Are you just going over the horror ones right now?
Yeah, I'm just talking about horror in general as a genre. There's probably a lot of like indie horror that I did not see. But you've got Brightburn, It 2, which was a huge disappointment from It 1.
That's what I've heard, but I haven't seen either of them.
Not only is it like 3 hours long, it feels like it's terribly edited as far as like key points are just cut out of the movie. Like, I'll just give an example to kind of lend some evidence to my argument. There's a part where all the adults, the plot of it too is that they were kids when the first it happened, then 27 years or so go by later, and they have to come back to the original town and basically go through it again as adults. They come back from moving all over the place, and they all move into this like hotel slash bed and breakfast, but they never talk about, they just kind of like walk in behind the bar, behind the counter, like no one works there. They just walk in and around like they own the place, and they like things happen, like somebody like almost gets killed in the bed and breakfast. No one cares. There's like blood. Doesn't matter. Like stuff like that, they just ignore completely. That must have been edited out for time, I guess. And it's just like, really? That's the part you edited out? The part that's like really important? And yeah, it's just, it's an odd movie, and it's just doesn't hold up to the first one, unfortunately. I really like the 2017 It, I think, is when the first of those two came out. And then I'm trying to think what else even came out as far as horror. Escape Room, which was kind of funny. But yeah, certainly not good. Just as a whole, horror, not that great as far as 2019.
That's why I don't watch them.
Well, that's not why you don't watch them. You're only to be scared. You're a scaredy boy.
Only to be scared. Why the heck would I want to watch a movie and then come home and be like, oh, can't sleep tonight?
Crap, I forgot about Us.
Oh, crap.
Which is a Jordan Peele yes. after Get Out. Us is weird. And
I heard it was good. I heard it was different.
Can I spoil Us for you? Because it's interesting, like the ideas.
Yeah.
But logically, it's sure, I think dude. Flawed.
Sure. Dude.
So Us is obviously about this family. They're like they're pretty like upper class family. It's like Lupita Nyong'o, I think is how I'm probably butchering that name. But and then Winston Duke, both of Black Panther fame. They're married and have a family, and they go to Santa Cruz to the beach, you know, kind of for like a little vacation. They have a vacation home there, and they, you know, they go through their stuff. Lupita Nyong'o had a traumatic childhood experience where she saw a mirrored version of herself as like probably when she was like 6 or 7 years old, and now as an adult, they go back to kind of where she saw that original experience, and a whole family that is identical to them shows up and tries to kill them. That's the premise of the movie, okay. Right? Which is fine. I mean, it sounds interesting. Where are you going with that? Turns out, by the end of the movie, I'm going to completely spoil Us, which came out like last year, so careful about that if you care about that. Turns out that everyone, at least in America, if not the entire... I guess, yeah, it's just America. Everyone in America has a copy of themselves, and they all try to kill their... own selves and just anybody else.
That's kind of dope.
Yeah, it is a cool idea, but here's like my problem with, they never really talk about like where these people came from. They allude to them being like a government experiment for control, and that's it. That's all they say. So there's a copy for everyone, and they show like the copies underground, like mimicking the actions of their, I guess, other, they're they call them tethered, you know, they're the tethered down under, they're living these like crappy lives where they apparently have to eat rabbits. I don't know why they eat rabbits. I think there's like an idea that maybe they were cloning rabbits for the first time, the government was, and then they started cloning people, and then they all I don't know, 300 million of them, however many people are alive or exist. They all get together and they make a coup, but they make a coup by all wearing red jumpsuits. Where did they get 300 million red jumpsuits? And they all have that pair of scissors you see in the trailer and on the box art. I don't know if you've seen them. There's like old style with the big handle scissors that look all creepy. They have 300 million scissors that they all got for the coup, like where they kind of revolt. It's just, it's weird. And it doesn't make a lot of sense when you start asking those kind of questions about it, but it cares a little bit. And also there's some really awkwardly timed humor. Like the family has just got like about towards 3/4 of the way into the movie, the family has not only killed their versions of themselves. Well, a couple of them, they've also killed their friend family's version of themselves. Like the good family, right? The normal people. They've killed that many people and they're still running for their lives. And they're discussing like kill counts, like in a joking manner, like, oh, I've killed one person, you've killed one person, she's killed two people, so she should be in charge. Like, that's the dialogue. And I'm like, you guys are upper-class pill, and you just had to brutally murder versions of yourself and your friends, and you watched your friends get brutally murdered. that's not a thing you say in that moment. That's not. And like the 16-year-old daughter's like, I should drive. And you're like, we're getting murdered. No, you should not. You're 15 or whatever. Like, don't get out of the car. Like, like it's just weird. The comedic timing is weird in this movie.
Yeah.
And that it's just a strange movie.
So that is your recap of
That's it. That's us. Weird. Okay. Strange.
Don't need to watch it now.
Nah, you don't.
Poor movie. Probably gonna watch anyways.
Watch Get Out if you're gonna watch one of his.
Are you telling me that I'm gonna have to watch scary movies because
it's
of the podcast
not that,
now?
Honestly, either of the scarier
in
movies
general,
are not that
in
scary.
General, am I gonna have to watch scary movies?
You should just watch all the movies.
No,
every movie that comes
no.
out, you should watch.
I don't wanna.
Can you not do baby voice into the mic?
This is not baby voice.
It's a little similar.
A terrifying baby. You know, if you had a kid and he walked up to you and goes, "Hey,
Dada,"
I hate it.
Watch a movie, pops. No.
I hope that's not how your kid sounds. Actually, it is. I hope it is. It'd be a little more entertaining for me, anyways.
So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of talk about horror. But in general, I think movies were good. Did you have any big favorites that kind of stuck out to you?
Favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Let me flip through my notebook here and see.
Your single sheet of scrap
hey,
paper.
Shut it, please. Shut your mouth. I got one piece of paper here with some movies on it.
Right.
And have to say my favorite was probably Hobbs and Shaw.
Wow. I mean, honestly, solid pick.
It was entertaining, you know.
I had a lot of fun with Hobbs and Shaw. I'm not going to lie. There are some parts that, yeah, we want to talk about it.
I've been popping, dude. I've been hearing popping. All right. My favorite... Honestly, maybe I'm not just saying it, you know, not just trying to go with the flow here. Probably Endgame.
Wow, basic.
at least okay. So it's one of my favorites from last year. There are some other movies that I enjoyed, but I really liked that movie. That's it, dude.
Yeah.
The end.
As far as Marvel
no,
rankings
it.
Go.
That's it.
That's it. That's really all you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all needs to be said.
Okay.
yeah. Okay. It was a payoff. You have to watch every other movie to enjoy it as much. And it's something that's never been done before as far as like to really appreciate that. And some people might be like, well, that's not good. It should be a good standalone movie. I just consider it a sequel or not a sequel, but an installment. The last installment in a 20 like one movie series,
yeah,
and
I mean,
you have to have dedication for
you
it.
You can't watch. I mean, you can watch, Return of the King without, seeing the first two.
That's what I'm
really
saying. But this is like a lot
sense.
More movies, so I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, that I'm just saying that saying like it should stand totally by itself doesn't really hold up.
I think there's changing, you know, the ways that movies can be made and viewed in that kind of saga where you can have a series and things can intertwine. But at the end of the day, the way that Endgame was done, the fact like it was just even people who hadn't seen all the other movies still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. For the most part, from what I've heard, people that haven't seen all the other movies, they were able to. It's just a good movie to be able to have that kind of a cast, especially with that much backstory and all that kind of stuff, and make it flow the way that they did. I'm not gonna say everything was perfect. Like, I'm sure there's a few things here and there that I would change, but the way that they were able to balance everything out and make the payoff worth all those other movies, like I had what people like to call nerd tears in the theater. Like, I was like jumping up and down on my seat, like smiling like a giddy child. Like when, like for example, when Captain America like called Mjolnir. And use that when the
that
entire
was,
army
big, yeah.
rushed Thanos's army, and it just like it was the payoff of the century, like that you had to wait a century for.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me the most excited while watching it than any other movie I saw. It's very different compared to any other movie that I saw last year because it had a caliber that the other ones, you know, just didn't in a different way. And that's fine. But it's just like That's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot more I could say about it, but that's a recap.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I definitely thoroughly enjoyed it. Seeing it, you know, gosh, what? How many times?
We saw it twice the night it came out.
So we did,
which is insane.
I did see it three times.
Isn't it 3.5 hours?
I gave too much money to Disney.
Wait,
yeah,
it's 3.5 hours, right?
I think it's
or
is
three.
It that long? I don't know if it's 3.5. I feel like it's like right around 3.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I think it is 3.
Still 6 hours of movie in a single night, and then we did see it when the re-edited films go by.
Yeah, 3 hours,
that's
2 minutes.
That's one big thing I could say for 2019. Gave way too much money to Disney. Because I also saw Rise of Skywalker twice. So that's 5 of my movie showings in theaters were dedicated to.
Yeah. And let me just say this too. Like, I'm going to be very honest about my opinions on movies on this, which is hopefully the point. But don't shrug at me. I thought you didn't want to pander.
No, you're absolutely.
But
right.
My point is, like, I love superheroes. I have a big like love for superheroes and Marvels,
boner.
but there are some things with Marvel movies and the way that they're continuing to push them, and with the new Spider-Man that I have issues with, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about that on other podcasts too.
Yeah.
So I'm not just gonna. I just want everybody to know that I'm not just going Avengers, Marvel. I love it. It's Disney superhero. Love it. I mean,
yeah,
hopefully
I mean,
that's
definitely.
We talked about Captain Marvel at the start of this and how
right.
we didn't like it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm definitely a fan. I've definitely kept up with the news. Not as much recently because I do think this is kind of a weird time for Marvel stuff. There's not a lot of stuff I am excited for. Maybe the new Doctor Strange movie will be interesting. I'll still watch them all until they get to a point where I really won't watch them. But,
wow, that's made so much sense.
Yeah,
I'll watch them all until I don't watch them.
Yeah,
that's how your eyes work. Good job.
But Endgame, yeah, I did enjoy Endgame. I do think Infinity War, which I guess is its, you know, 2018 counterpart, I probably enjoy that movie more. I've watched it more times since it's been on, you know, Netflix and stuff like that. I think it's a little bit tighter. And Thanos is, that's my one thing about Thanos is, Thanos characterization in Endgame is a little weird. I remember kind of expecting this to you after we saw it, where it feels like he goes from a reluctant villain in Infinity War, you know, a guy who thinks he's doing
this
the right thing.
I disagree with you on, but
yeah, it is. Thinks he's doing the right thing in Infinity War, and then in Endgame, especially when you talk about technically the 2014 Thanos, the one that goes through the portal to go to the current year, but he's from Guardians of the Galaxy timeline.
Yep.
Which is a little confusing if you haven't seen this, but I'm gonna go on the idea that you have. He goes to just being much more of a generic villain at that point. He's just out. He just basically wants to kill it. I mean, his idea is that he wants to. Yeah, he's learned that, you know, just snapping away half of everybody didn't work because people found a way to undo it. So instead, he's just going to kill everybody and redo it.
He thought that eventually people would be almost grateful.
Right.
And even if the people that are not alive at the time, that they the people later would be grateful because he saved humanity, at least for the time being. Now, that's where I disagree with you, if you're finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just say as a last thing is that Infinity War's whole point is that he was doing it out of necessity, not because he liked it. And Endgame, based on what you see of him, which is not nearly as much as Infinity War, he doesn't get nearly as much screen time, he seems much more like he's going to enjoy it. He seems like he's really out for blood more than he is just doing what's necessary. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I disagree with you because I think he's pissed that he thought what he was doing was right, and now he, and again, and I will be fair to you that they kind of, it's a different Thanos almost because they did get him from previous things, so he doesn't have as much time to kind of process things and character development. So some of the character development in Infinity War kind of does get pushed out the window a little because we're talking about Thanos now that's from pre-Infinity War.
Right.
Anyway, that way. So I agree with you a little bit on that. I understand that. But at the same time, he's trying to do something out of necessity and thought that he's going to be helping. And after all that dedication, all that time, even if it's something he doesn't want to do because he's doing it out of necessity, that makes him a compelling villain. I agree with you. In Infinity War, you're doing something out of necessity, it makes it like you kind of feel for him. So when you take all that time and do all that stuff, and then after all of that, these people are just reversing it, and you're like, you're pissed because you're like, no one is understanding that what I'm doing is for the greater good. That's what he thinks. And you're just fighting me, and it's getting worse, and they're about to stop you. So he's pissed. And then he does slowly get that enjoyment out of, probably does get enjoyment of, yeah, that's why at the end he does decide, yes, I'm going to enjoy this, like destroying your planet, because he's upset. He hit a breaking point. That's how I've kind of visualized his character arc. And again, you're taking out a little bit of the characterization from Infinity War, so you have to kind of know that. And then he's realizing that all this time that he spent is being basically stopped, and he's pissed, and he's upset, and they are, again, he reaches his breaking point, which then makes sense of why he becomes this more of a kind of just villain, mm-hmm. but there's actually reasons behind it. I get so upset seeing movies where people are just villains,
yeah.
just to be a villain. Right. I think there's a reason for him to actually now be more of a villain and not like him as much. And I think that was probably kind of part of their ideal, was you want him to be somebody that you kind of can relate to and understand. But then by the end of the second movie, you're like, all right, he needs to die now.
Well, he always needed to go.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying.
Ideology, do you understand?
Whether you agree, do you kind of see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're coming from. I would counter that with, especially when you talk about the time jump between 2014 Thanos and 2018 Thanos, is that we see a flashback of 2018 Thanos back when he picked up the Gamora, which was ostensibly 25, 30 years ago, however long, I don't know how old Gamora is, but longer than 4 years, he's the same guy. He doesn't seem to be any different in that flashback. He has the same ideas and principle. He seems to be the same character as he is in 2018. But beyond that, I understand that he'd be upset. We never see a scene in him in an Endgame where he is visibly raged by what has happened. So we never really get that vibe that he's super upset about what has happened. We see a scene where he acknowledges that people went against him, and he said, that's where I failed, when he sees his own head get chopped off on Nebula's little vision thing. But we never see him like getting enraged about it. We never see any of that.
He didn't say that's where I failed. He said that's
I don't know what he said, but
It wasn't even fail. That was his almost the opposite. What did he say? Regardless, that doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is, I don't think it necessarily matters. Yeah, I think he has the same viewpoints, regardless of when you take him from. But I think he's realizing that this is the future, and he spent all this time already in the past, and he knows that his future self is going to spend that kind of time, and it's still going to fail. So I think he still has the right to be upset. And I think that you said you never see a moment of him rage. I think it's more of a personality trait where, like, he's upset and he's manifesting and just like, screw you. I'm literally just going to kill all you. Almost matter of factly. And he's enjoying it. And he doesn't care anymore. He's done.
That.
He doesn't care. It's over. He's over it. He spent so much time. He doesn't manifest in just like rage. He's like, fine, I'm going to kill you now because you pissed me off. That's it. I'm done.
Right.
But that's my perspective. I don't want to go too in depth with every movie.
No,
but
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. It was just a point I had about Endgame. But overall, yeah, I think I agree with you. I liked it.
Let's stick with genres right now. I think would be the best way to kind of do it. Endgame was a good one.
We talked about Captain Marvel.
Talked
the
about
other
Captain
one
Marvel.
Is Far From Home.
Shazam.
Oh,
came out last year.
It did,
and I feel like that was longer ago.
It was. Well, it was early last year. It was like March or so. It was like it came out definitely before Endgame.
Yeah, so if we're gonna get through a lot of these movies, I think we should just kind of do quick recaps.
Yeah. Shazam. We saw it together.
Honestly, here I'll put it this way. I think Shazam is my
favorite
or at least
DC
in top
movie?
Two of DC the universe ones.
Yeah,
not we're not talking like the Dark Knight or anything like
Joker
that.
Joker doesn't probably count in that either. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, okay. I didn't
Joker
think
does
would.
Not count. Yeah. The Joker that came out last
year. I saw, because you probably saw Shazam just the once, right?
Yes.
In theaters.
I think so.
So I actually ended up watching it around Christmas time. It was just on some channel, and my brother and mother had never seen it before. And so we just kind of casually popped it on for a little while. I agree with you that I liked it when we watched it. I don't think it holds up all that well. The comedy, for whatever reason, just fell flat for me in the second viewing, a lot of it. I don't know. And
especially
Maybe it might have been especially that it fell flat because it definitely wasn't working for my brother and my mother. So, like, the scenes where I remember being like, oh, that was pretty funny at the time, they didn't care at all about it. So maybe that made it worse for me. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is a pretty generic movie overall. It's definitely better than, like, Batman v Superman or Justice League, especially. Justice League is terrible.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's my favorite movie, but I enjoyed it.
I know you're not, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'd have to watch it again. Maybe it's just not one that, like, is very rewatchable.
I just don't think it's just a, you know, it was good for its time, but it's not a movie that you need to watch again. It's not something you need to spend any more time on.
Fair
it's
opinion.
Just where it was. But yeah, and then Far From Home was the other, you know, big superhero movie that came out.
I was like, I don't even have that. I do have that on here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go too far into this because then
we've
again,
we've already talked a lot about Marvel stuff. Yeah.
But I think a lot of it was really, really freaking cool. And I think there was a lot of it that I was kind of upset with how they're taking Peter Parker and Spider-Man's story. Now, I could do an entire podcast, an entire episode about how we, about just Spider-Man, because he's my favorite superhero. I feel like the MCU is cheating him out a little bit of who he actually should be.
They just
that's
need
my
to give
opinion.
Spider-Man
and I can go,
some time to be by himself.
That's literally, you're just stealing the words out of my mouth because I say that every time that we talk. But you're right.
Yeah.
Every movie he's been in, again, I wasn't even going to say this because I feel like I'm going to get into in depth, but I'll try my best not to. Every movie he's been in, he is a shadow of Iron Man. Everyone, even after Iron Man died.
Iron Man's dead and it's all about
he
his glasses.
Is just
the whole crux of Far
he's
From
a mini
Home is
Iron Man that can stick to walls and decides to put on web shooters instead of a big metal suit.
Yeah.
And it makes me angry because he's such a good character and like I like the mentor aspect of it, but they lean in a little too hard. That's it. I'm backing away.
Yeah. Fair
they
enough.
Lean a little too hard.
Yeah.
But there were some really cool visuals and there were some cool him coming to his own moments in Far From Home, but they had him coming to his own moments in Homecoming. So I thought it was going to be good after that. And then they just felt like they had to redo it again. But with a villain this time being the mentor, like we weren't supposed to know. It just, but there were some cool stuff. I did love Far From Home as a whole, as a movie. But as the characters, I don't know if you can separate that, but again, I don't want to go too much into it.
No, yeah, I think you can separate.
Mysterio was the best part of the.
Yeah,
to me, the way that they did those visual effects.
There was a whole scene where he basically just, for the sake of the audience, goes through his entire process of his plan and how he got to where he was and how everything works, strictly for the audience's benefit. It's basically saying. It's basically just his, like, monologuing James Bond scene.
I'll give it to you, but I'll only give that to you in parts because he's a theater actor. They like to be
that's
very...
That's what they do.
They like to be very flashy.
Yeah.
But it is a little pandering to the audience as far as, like, this is just for expositional purposes so you can kind of see.
So you can get kept up and it's like, oh, look, see, that's the guy from Iron Man 1. You remember him?
Yeah.
Obadiah Stane yelled at that guy.
It was entertaining for me the first time I watched it.
It is, yeah.
But when you think about it.
The whole movie's entertaining, but when you do think about it, it starts to hurt you a little bit more.
Yeah, just that one part for me. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the Oscar nominees that we saw?
No.
You're not ready?
Because there are a couple other movies. Do we want to talk about Joker as part of the superheroes or just talk about it as part of the Oscars?
I guess we should. It is technically, it's a good segue. We can go
superhero
ahead and talk
genre.
About Joker.
He's not a superhero. We all know that.
Yeah, but Batman, I guess, technically is.
And then there's
movie.
One other movie I have to bring up.
Marriage Story?
No, superhero related. But we can go Joker first. Again, we'll
other
go quick.
What other
don't
superhero
look at my
movie
list.
Came out?
We'll talk about Joker
okay.
first.
Okay, Joker. Joker was a big deal.
I guess, whatever, dude.
I never expected
there weren't any
Joker
jokes.
To make... Actually, there were, technically. I don't remember any because they were bad, but there were some jokes. Didn't it make like $1.1 billion or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I believe
it
is
insanely
the lowest budget movie to ever make $1 billion.
It's
the most profitable movie of all time,
yeah,
I think, is what I heard.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah. I never expected a movie like this that feels, man, what does Joker really feel like? I was almost going to say, in a way, it feels more like a, you know, almost kind of like a Scorsese movie. Yeah, I know. I'm doing a lot of noises.
That feels like
a movie.
You know, because it's a real talker.
That's movie brother.
Are you done?
That is movie brother.
It's a real
movies brother.
You want to talk about Joker?
I'll let you go first.
I hate you,
brother.
Joker. It's a real, you know, just a straight up character drama about one guy. And I mean, there are some like flashy actiony scenes here and there, but it's a fairly long movie. It's probably like 2.5 hours long, maybe 2:15. And for the majority of that, you're just getting to know this one guy and his struggle, mostly, I guess, with his mental illness, but also his place in society. I mean, you know, it's hard to say Joker in society in the same sentence, but because of the memes. But, you know, I mean, that's really what this movie is about. It's just trying to figure out how this guy fits in, and he doesn't, and he kills people.
Spoilers
for anything that came out in 2019. let's just flat out say that. If you didn't know that already. I mean, Joker came out in like August. You should have seen it already. I remember having a few, like, I guess, critiques about the movie. Like, I feel like there are two camps on this movie. You either hated it because you thought that it was going to cause people to shoot up theaters, which it didn't. Or you absolutely loved it because you sympathized with the Joker a little too much.
You're saying two camps on this movie. Do you mean people who've seen it? Because it doesn't sound like it. Because you're saying camps on this movie, people who thought it was going to shoot up theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those people aren't going to go, and they wouldn't think that after. So it's like, what are your
Well, a lot
two
of that
camps?
Was like media stuff, and I guess
right.
I'm going
so
on the
I'm talking about going under the assumption
movie.
Of people who saw the movie. What are the two viewpoints? Either you like it or hate it? Is that kind of what you're
getting at? Yeah, I mean, basically, like, you hate it because you think it's like a weird... You
or
know,
you still think it's pandering?
Incel.
Not pandering.
I'm
sorry.
I don't think the movie's pandering.
That's not what I mean.
No.
I mean that people think there are a group of people that think that because of what it's about, that it's going to insinuate that people should act the way the Joker did.
Yeah,
almost.
Kind of humanize
or
that
start
viewpoint,
kind
like
of
the incel,
a riot,
4chan,
like he did.
Like a point of view that you know, those people that feel ostracized from society and they feel like their only option is to just go murder people, which I don't think, if you really watch this movie, I don't think it's trying to tell you that at all. You should not really feel, you should feel bad for Arthur Fleck, but you should not, like, feel yourself in him. That is not, like, the vibe or the emotion you should be feeling is, I see myself in Fleck. Like, if you're seeing that, I mean, do you disagree with me? That seems
no,
like...
I agree. I think that, like, you can feel bad for him. I think you can relate in certain aspects.
Certain aspects.
But
everyone's felt an
difference.
Outcast or they've been on stage and something didn't go right, you know?
Well, and also, just go Thanos. You might think that there's issues, but the way of solving issues is not the same of having the issues.
Right.
You shouldn't just go kill everybody or
you
kill half
be
the
space
world.
Hitler.
Yeah, you should. You shouldn't just go kill half the world. Right. It's very similar with Joker. I feel like is you can have issues, and you can understand why somebody gets driven to madness, and it's sad. And maybe if you were in exactly that same position, you might also get driven to madness.
Right.
There was one thing after another, and he had mental issues. But it's like you. As much as you can kind of even empathize with him, maybe even after the point of him starting to kill people, maybe, of just like how he got to that point.
Right.
You don't excuse the killing.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You don't excuse the result.
Oh, no. I mean, I
that's
definitely
all.
Feel bad
yeah,
for him. He had everything
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you feel bad. I'm just saying,
him,
yeah,
know?
That's what I'm saying. That's where the line is. You don't excuse, you can feel bad, but you can't excuse the result of
yeah.
what is happening because of it. Still have to be, you know, held accountable. But
I, the one thing I would say about this movie that I didn't 100% love was the weird little tie-ins with Batman. Maybe you disagree with me on this.
Because I think they did it subtly
I
enough
just felt
where,
like it was a little, like, contrived, maybe?
I almost... Okay, the only part would maybe be the killing of his parents at the end. Like, they didn't really
necessarily... Oh, killing of Batman's parents?
Yeah,
yeah, that definitely
the rest
was.
Because I feel like they did it in a subtle enough way. I say subtle. It was a very clear scene when, like, he went to the house. And I know you have issues with that.
Yeah.
But that I think we'll get a little too deep if we start talking that. But I think that overall, in my opinions, they were able to do it while still keeping it its own movie. That still made sense. And it didn't... The interactions he had affected how he became the Joker. So I think it was necessary to the story. I mean, I say necessary. They could have put a different situation in there, but I'm saying that it didn't take away for me. It didn't take away.
Interesting. You think it was so? I think the big parts that were involved in his life were the fact that, you know, his mother was infatuated with Bruce Wayne's dad. I can't remember his name. Do you remember the name? Chad Wayne, I don't know.
That's him, dude.
Oh, I don't remember Wayne's dad's name, but you know, and then so obviously Arthur thought that he was. Did you just smell that candle?
I did, and I think I breathed in ash.
That's a very burned down candle, so you probably shouldn't try to sniff it.
Anyways,
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I'm sorry, totally blanked. So he thought that he was, I'll just call him Chad Wayne now. I don't remember Bruce Wayne's dad's name. Chad Wayne, he thought he was his son because that's what his mother told him. His mother was obviously mentally ill, as well as him. And that was a big part of his descent. But did you need it to be Chad Wayne? Couldn't you have replaced it with almost anyone else? Like, he already had so many other things going on that was almost kind of like a spark or a tipping point.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is it still added to the story. It didn't take away. Now, to me, I don't think it didn't distract me from the story going on. Mm-hmm. It didn't take away. It added to reasons. Sure, you could put a different reason in there or take it out. The movie would be less long and it would still make sense. But it didn't bother me. And so, to me, it just added a little bit of a cool element because, like, oh, that's a cool nod. And it still added. As long as it adds and it's not just like, cool, that was a scene that didn't actually add anything to it. They figured out a way to make it add to his arc. So I'm cool with it. And they didn't do it in a dumb way to me. Yeah. You might think it's a little too much. That's, you know, that's your opinion on that. And that's cool. But that's how I viewed it.
No. Yeah. I think overall it's a very good movie. I just think some of the Bruce Wayne things, and if we had more time, I'd try to go into it and try to establish exactly, you know, try to give more examples on why I feel like this way. I don't like making unsubstantiated claims about my opinions, but you know, we're just trying to kind of move more quickly through this
last superhero movie that I have to bring up.
Okay,
this is the one that I mentioned to you when we were talking about movies we were going to talk about, and I said it technically came out December 21st, 2018.
And we did,
but I think we probably saw it. We didn't see it together, but I think we saw it in 2019.
Okay,
so we're talking about it. This is the same thing you said about, like, what do you consider a movie 2019 or 2020
right, when it right, came out? Right.
So, Aquaman.
Oh, that's right. I saw Aquaman on HBO the other day. I didn't watch it. I just saw it when I was passing through.
It's so bad.
It's not that bad.
We have, like, I say polarizing. Maybe it could be more polar because he said not that bad. He didn't say it's his favorite. That'd be polarizing. But he likes to fight me that this movie isn't bad, and it's so bad.
It's funny too because I can acknowledge that this is normally I'd probably say I'm a little more critical, a little bit more negative going to things than you are. You're a bit more of the optimist, but in this case I like this movie and you hate it and it's hilarious.
I'll watch it again if you want to talk about. We could literally have a whole episode about not Aquaman, but like, I don't know, movies you think are bad. I don't know. We could talk more in depth if we want to because I don't think we have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because we would, I think it'd be very entertaining for you guys to listen to us argue about this movie. Let me recap. Then you can recap.
Okay.
And then we can pretty much be done.
Sure.
It's bad. Your turn. Okay. So no, I don't really know where to start. Let's start with the visuals. The visuals. It's hard to do completely underwater CG. All that. I understand that. There were some parts that looked really cool, and there were other parts that just looked really bad and really fake. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion on that. I get that it's hard. So with what they were given, the visuals was my least worry about it. Like, I can accept some of that because I get what they're trying to do.
Right.
There were some really cool stunt and fight scenes. I will give you that. I don't know where to start. Okay. The acting, in my opinion, was not good, and I think that had to do with script partially.
Also,
I felt like what
I was gonna say. I don't think Amber Heard is her name. The
redhead.
I don't think she's that great of an act.
No, she wasn't in this. No. I don't know if I've seen her in anything else. So you can agree with at least with her. But I think part of it had to do with script, but a lot of the lines that they did in that movie, I didn't feel any emotion. The way that they tried to...
Oh, that's right. Amber Heard is that she's married to Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp is saying that, like, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they're saying that she's been, like, physically abusive to him or something like that. She's in this whole scandal with him.
Didn't know that.
It's really weird.
Back to Aquaman.
Yeah. sorry. I
want to talk about more controversial things. I didn't feel the emotion when they were trying to convey emotions. It seems so fake the way that they were trying. It seemed like they were trying to act. They were overacting those lines. I remember a specific part where, like, the queen of, you know, Aquaman's mom comes to reunite with the dad again. And, like, they look at each other. And it was towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They were, like, reuniting. They saw each other because he'd go out to the dock every day. The day he does go there and she's there, they look at each other like, oh my gosh, this is the first time in the entire movie I'm feeling something. And then they start running towards each other, and it was so bad. Looked, oh my man, like it was like a super cliche, just, like, yeah, choreographed, like, slow-mo sprint to each other, their facial reactions. And that was, and it summed up the entire movie for me.
Nicole Kidman's the fight in the movie. Very beginning, though, where she's, like, fighting all those
was awesome.
Atlanteans, it was really
That's
dope.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
There was some
That's
cool stuff like that.
Is that, I don't go into a movie like that, and I don't, the movie doesn't even really feel like it's trying to get me to care. It feels like it's just going through the motions.
That is sad. That's a sad excuse.
It is.
Nate.
It is. Well, but the thing is,
you just hold on. No, wait. Let me say this. You literally said earlier, you can talk about giving awards and all that. You can clearly state whether something is objectively good or objectively bad.
Yeah, I think it's objectively bad. Sorry, did I not make that clear?
No,
I think subjectively I like it. But objectively, yeah. No,
it's not bad.
Trying, and it should be.
You said it was pretty good and not that bad.
Not on the podcast.
Yeah, you said it to me. You know you said it.
I don't know. It just didn't hit me. And there's my own bias coming out. I'll acknowledge that it didn't hit me as bad as other movies.
So let me compare this to Hobbs and Shaw really quick. Because Hobbs and Shaw is another one that's like, it's just kind of happy-go.
Like The Rock and Shaw's sister, I think.
Even though there were moments in that movie where it seemed like they were overacting, most of those overacting were for jokes. And they played them as jokes.
Oh, yeah. I hated those scenes where they go back and forth in each other's face. Like Hobbs and Shaw,
okay,
they would, like,
thing.
Look at
they
each other and go,
for jokes.
You're so ugly, I wouldn't even, you know,
yeah,
like some dumb shit
point.
Like that.
Some of these jokes, they're actually acted well, even though they know they're joking itself. It's because it acted well. Even when they overact the jokes, they do that on purpose. This movie was very apparent, especially when, like, Kevin Hart showed up and Ryan Reynolds showed up. They knew what this movie was, and I applaud that. And a lot of people tried to say Aquaman knew what it was. No, it did not, because there were times they were trying to be heartfelt, and you could tell, but it was so not done well. The jokes did not hit. None of the jokes hit. I don't think what's his name?
Jason
I'm
Momoa?
Names now. Thank you. Yeah, just. I have not seen a lot of what he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, it's just Aquaman from Aquaman and
Justice League.
Good. it does nothing clicked. Everything they tried to make click, nothing clicked. I already said I wouldn't go to him, Jeff. That's why.
Yeah.
But
okay, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, you're probably not wrong on anything that you've said.
But it's weird because that movie I feel like is so split. Like, a lot of people are like, I really liked it. That's the saving grace for DC. I'm like, it's
I wouldn't call
so
it that.
Bad.
Yeah, I just had fun with it. I have
and
personal
I can give
things.
You that.
Like, I remember Jason Momoa back in, like, Stargate Atlantis and stuff like that. And I really, you know, I mean, he's just charming to me. Like, I could watch him do anything with one of those guys. So
no, he wasn't charming, dude. It was just bad to me. And maybe if I see those other movies, that would change. But I don't think it would change my Aquaman view of him.
If anything, I thought the guy who played Black Manta did a really, like, job.
He didn't seem charming.
Okay.
I'm still blown away by your
That's fine.
Opinions that are wrong. I'm kidding. All right, let's move on.
Can we be done with superheroes for a while?
Yeah. We're so bad at just saying I liked it or I didn't like it, because that's not what we want to do on here, but we do want to review
things.
Yeah,
I think the point... I've told other people this is that you'll never catch me giving a movie a number grade. I think that's dumb. We did that a little while ago with when we were comparing some movies. Actually, I think we were talking about Marvel stuff. We gave everything a number grade and everything. but I've kind of come to realize that, like, the numbers, like giving something out of 10 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10, that's all can be interpreted many different ways. Everyone's 5 out of 10 is different. That's, it doesn't, yeah.
That's movies, brother, and art, brother.
Yeah. So I think if anything, we should just, and I don't think we're doing a particularly great job with this episode because we have to go through it so fast, but if we go in depth on a movie, I think we should just try to give as much evidence on what we felt about it as we can, and then kind of let whoever's listening kind of come to their own conclusions. If, you know, hopefully yeah. they've seen it as well, but, I think that's the better way to kind of approach it.
So let's not touch Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, 0 out of 10, terrible, fucking awful garbage.
No, but I'm just saying, again, the more movies we talk about, the more convoluted it's gonna be.
I don't even want to talk about Rise of Skywalker. We already had our rant about it. We didn't talk about it on here, obviously, but it's...
So you're not a big fan?
I wouldn't say so, no.
All right, cool, agreed. Yeah. Did you know, though, that... Yeah. Don't know if you care about this, but Star Wars has more movie release dates, obviously already planned.
Sure, of course.
And I was just curious that they've reached out to Taika Waititi to develop a movie.
Yeah, I did see that. He should stay away.
That's the other news thing I wanted to ask you about, if you were actually, like, what you felt about that, because
he can do a very good job, but Disney's going to get in his head, and it's going to turn out terrible.
One of the, Thor Ragnarok. Or some of the episodes, I think, at least one. Of
one. The last episode of The Mandalorian, that's it.
It was good.
It was. It's funny.
I was just curious what you thought about that, because they didn't say direct. It could be either. They said they're not sure if they're talking about directing or just writing, or both, or what. But
At this point, I don't even know what they're going to do. So I can't really say. I mean, maybe he could grab it and do a great job. It really, what it ends up coming down to is studio pressure, because I don't think you can blame JJ for everything that went wrong with Rise of Skywalker and the new trilogy in general, and I don't think you can blame Ryan for everything that happened with Last Jedi. Yeah,
you can blame them both, and both of them wanted to make their own vision.
They both have some fault to have, but they're not 100% the fault.
My point is, I think a big thing is you can blame the fact that they both had their own vision and then didn't decide to do something
together.
They just can mess up existing because each of them want to do their own thing.
Yeah, JJ should have kept the whole trilogy to himself when he had the option to, back in like 2013 or whatever they were talking about that. Or he should have not come back for Rise of Skywalker, because Rise of Skywalker is the worst movie in all 9. Actually, no, all 11, including Solo and Rogue One.
What?
I have changed my mind on this. I've come to, when we talked about it right after we saw it the second time, I don't know if it's worse than like Attack of the Clones, because I really don't like Attack of the Clones as well. But I have come to the conclusion that it is.
Okay, wow, I'm impressed.
But again, we don't have to go into super detail about that. There are plenty of places you can find that.
How many times is this episode going to be clipped where we say, well, I'm not going into super detail, and then we go into super detail about everything? Just wondering. All right.
No, we haven't even started going into super detail about anything, to be honest. Yeah. We could go into so much deeper into all these. Rise of Skywalker was probably my biggest disappointment from last year. I really, you know, wanted the sequel trilogy to come out to be something, and it just came out to be nothing.
Yeah.
It just came out to be a waste of time. So as far as Taika Waititi doing some movie in the future, sure, who cares? I don't know. They're gonna have to try hard. Mandalorian is the only good thing that's coming out of Star Wars recently, and they're gonna have to try real hard to get me and I'm sure a lot of other people to care again, and that's kind of sad, but you know,
yeah,
things only last so long. But yeah, I think we should move on to some of the good shit, right? Some of the things we really liked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like?
What'd you really like last year?
Because I don't think we talked about some stuff.
Oh, I guess
liked.
You said you did Endgame. That's right.
Shazam. I did like Hobbs and Shaw for a different reason.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw was fun. It certainly wasn't perfect. I probably liked like Fast and Furious 7 more than I liked Hobbs and Shaw, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Just because there are some like kind of really cringy moments in Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, and we like Joker. I mean,
we did like Joker.
Joker
right.
made me feel things, and I like that about movies. That's a big thing that I'll be talking about, and you know, as the podcast goes on, is movies making you feel things.
You didn't see it. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I very much liked.
You're not allowed to spoil that for me because yes. I really want to see that movie.
I really liked it. That's probably even saying too much in itself. But that was, I've seen almost everything that Quentin Tarantino has done, except for maybe, I think he did True Blood like a long, long time ago. I haven't seen that. But yeah, I've seen everything else, and I really, really liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I haven't seen it enough. And it's got that new bias still in my brain, but it might be one of my favorites that he's ever done. It's a really funny movie. It's really great.
It's interesting because I heard, on the other hand, I think I heard some people saying that, like, it was all right. I guess it all just depends on what you're
about. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're going for. Some people don't like the alternate history stuff because, obviously, Quentin Tarantino is kind of known with a lot of his movies that he'll kind of tackle a historical event and change it. Which I think is great because, kind of leaves you guessing. You don't know where it's going to go.
History is boring.
Damn. Hot take
Real
right here.
History is boring.
Well, if you've watched The Irishman, you'll know that's not true.
Gotta watch that. I gotta watch all these Oscar
movies before we...
Nominations.
Yeah, do that. It's just, like I said, I don't want to spoil it for you or anybody else who hasn't watched it because they should. It's just a really solid movie. But I will say that it's one of those movies where you kind of struggle to really find out what it's about, because you could argue that it's about nothing. It's just characters living their life.
That is something I did hear.
Their thing. And if that bothers you, I guess I can get that if that would bother
you.
Do
you think Marriage Story is a similar about nothing? Or did that have more of a...
No, that's very definitively about something.
I mean, I guess you could say that it has an overarching... I don't know. I'm trying to compare it to what mm-hmm. you're saying. Because although Marriage Story, it does have a very clear something it's about, it is very just like...
Right, but...
Day-to-day struggles. But,
like,
yeah.
You can sum up very simply what Marriage
right,
Story is
I
about.
Got you.
Divorce sucks. That's what Marriage Story
yep,
is about.
Pretty much.
But... Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is not nearly that simple. Yeah. I think you can sum up what it's quote-unquote about.
Don't you dare try right now.
No, I won't. But it wouldn't even really be a spoiler. But, I don't think overall that it has a strong, like, thematic goal that it's trying to achieve. You know, yeah. Like even Joker does or Marriage Story. So Once Upon a Time I don't want to say it was my favorite movie of last year, but it's definitely up there, from what I've seen. I still need to see a couple more, especially the Oscar contenders. Like, I want to see The Farewell, and, there was one more I wanted to see that I didn't get to see. What was it? Jojo Rabbit, but I'm a little bit worried about that one.
Yeah.
That was another Taika Waititi,
yeah.
Movie, but, it looked a little weird, and I heard that. It, and I could be totally wrong, but I heard it made fun of the Holocaust, which I'm a little worried about. But like, it's making fun of Hitler, and it's also making fun of the Holocaust. Again, just what I heard, could be completely wrong, yeah. So do not take that. I have not seen the movie. Taika Waititi, I've pretty much liked everything I've seen of his, but hasn't been a lot. I'm sure he's done more stuff that I haven't seen
right.
Before Thor Ragnarok, when everyone heard of him. Outside of that... I guess we can talk just quickly about The Irishman, because I do think it was a big idea. I mean, our big deal. Martin Scorsese doesn't come out with a movie all the time. Although it's not super rare either. I think his last one was 2015 or 2016, movie Silence with Andrew Garfield and a couple other people.
Oh, didn't it have Adam Driver in there too?
I think Adam Driver was in that, yeah. And Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I saw the trailer though, and I never saw that one either, and I really want to see it.
I didn't either. I was excited. I wanted to see it, but I shouldn't let other people say things like it's boring, don't watch it, and then that.
Yeah, I don't.
But also,
I'm very good at not listening to people.
Once if I see it on like a free streaming service, I'm sure I'll pick it up.
Yeah,
I'm not made of money. I can see everything. The Irishman, while very long, is very good, and it's a very interesting real story.
I haven't seen that
of
either.
The man, Frank Sheeran.
I need to watch it.
Based on a book. I Hear You Paint Houses, I think is what it's called.
So I'm Harry Painting Houses?
No, So I Hear You Paint Houses.
Mm, okay.
A little spoiler for you here. That
Don't
phrase is basically means, so I hear you kill people.
Painting houses with blood.
Yeah. And if you do your own carpentry, I think it means something else. I can't remember. But
I think if you actually paint houses, it just means you paint houses. But
Yeah, but not to, you know, 60s gangsters. Although, and one thing I will talk about it that is not a spoiler is that obviously there's a lot of the de-aging CGI in the movie.
Yes.
On De Niro and Pesci and
like the
Pacino.
Whole movie.
Well, I mean, to an extent, I think they actually had to do some stuff to age them all up because they show Pesci at the end of his life, and then obviously De Niro when he's kind of narrating the story as an old man in a nursing home. And I don't think they look quite that old in real life. They're pretty close, but I don't think they look quite as old as they do look in those ending scenes. But yeah, a lot of it, they do this de-aging stuff. And for the most part, I think it's really well done, the de-aging stuff. It's hard to even tell that it's going on. But what is more noticeable, I think, is the fact that you have not their faces, but you have these old men trying to walk like 35-year-old men. So there's a scene
where I don't know if this is the same scene, but I just heard this.
Yeah.
I heard there's a scene where he's kicking some dude.
Yes.
And it just looks like an old man trying to beat up somebody.
It
and it's
really
so
does.
Bad.
It's like, yeah, as far as choreography goes, which obviously they were kind of the way the scene kind of plays out, it's not a big scene or really all that impactful in the overall story. I guess maybe in the daughter's character it's important, but overall it's not a huge factor. But yeah, he basically, you know, beats this guy. And it's all kind of like from one shot, one, you know, perspective. So they never cut away from it. And that really hurts it because De Niro, I guess, just does not have the physicality to do that kind of thing anymore. And it really shows, which is unfortunate because it pulls you out a little bit. But overall, really well done, you know, movie in general. Not like one of my favorite Scorsese. I don't think it's really anybody's favorite Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
You know, go watch Taxi Driver or Gangs of New York or I'm forgetting, you know, Scorsese. You don't need me to tell you what to watch.
I watch what I want to watch.
Yeah, you watch what you want to watch, but it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's on Netflix, so it's hard to miss. But it is 3.5 hours long.
List of movies I haven't seen.
That
I want
to see. Wanted to see.
Toy Story 4.
Oh, we should probably talk about all the Disney, like actual Disney crap that came out this year.
Why? We've talked about a lot
of
that. There's no reason to just recap just that for that sake.
Well, because it was a big deal. I mean, God, you think about how much money Disney made this year on movies. I mean, Disney came out with not only those, well, I guess Far From Home doesn't count, but, you know, those big titans of superhero movies. They also came out with, Lion King.
I have Lion King and Aladdin
And Aladdin and Dumbo came out this year, too.
Did anybody see Dumbo? I feel like that one was
I don't know. It might not have done well, to be honest. But
Aladdin, I enjoyed. Lion King.
You did see Aladdin.
Lion King. I saw both.
Mm.
Lion King was pointless.
Yeah.
It's a shot-for-shot remake with less emotion.
But why is Aladdin not pointless?
Because the reason that Lion King was pointless to me was because they're animals. And they wanted to make it very realistic, which was impressive that they did.
Yeah.
But besides that, that's cool. It was over within the first 5 minutes because I'm just watching animals. Real life animals cannot show emotion through their face like the cartoon animals can. They just can't.
Yeah, this I've heard this.
So Mufasa dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Simba's like, he was like sad and like calling out throughout the valley or whatever, but he didn't look sad.
Yeah.
And that's fine because you're trying to recreate an animal. The other movie just did a better job at telling the story, and it was a shot-for-shot remake.
Right.
So there's no point. Now, the reason I enjoyed Aladdin was because I feel like if you're going to do live-action remakes of cartoons, you need to keep true to the main story while being able to add a little bit of something different, and maybe I say different, but maybe even a little something new, a little bit, to just make it interesting and worth it. That doesn't change the overall story. Enough to where you're not like, well, this isn't the same movie, but enough to where it's not like there's no point in making this movie. And I feel like Aladdin added enough and was different enough to where it was still entertaining to watch. And again, it really helped that they weren't animals. Like they were actually able to express their emotions as being actors and real people. And it was some cool visuals to see it done, you know, not just in a cartoon. So that's why I think it was necessary. Was it necessary? Like they had to make a kind of movie? No, but I found it entertaining and I liked it.
Right.
for those reasons.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's not my kind of thing. To be honest, I can't even say that I've seen the cartoon Aladdin all the way through.
Yeah, to be fair, Aladdin is basically a musical, so.
That's also true. Yeah,
a lot of those Disney movies are.
Yeah.
The Lion King basically is. I mean, it's less than a musical, but it's, you know.
It is a lot of songs.
The songs are there.
Yeah. Yeah, not my kind of thing. Can't really express a big opinion on it.
With that
I do think it's a big Disney, you know, cop out, just trying to make some money. You know?
I mean, it is. I will be, you know, if they want to do something to where these new kids are able to kind of see these stories and present them in a new way for these kids, like that's cool.
But you just digitally remastered the old ones.
I mean, yeah, so they can do that. Yeah. But again, and maybe even re-release them in theaters. They're going to make money either way. They're not going to do it if it's not going to make money. That's just common sense.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do something, but you can do something for money and because you want to do it. Not, you know, so I'm hoping that, that, but some of those remakes, I'm not super thinking that that's why.
I think one outweighs the other.
Yeah.
For sure.
But a movie that I didn't see. Having to do with, you know, CGI, animals, animation, some of that. Cats. Definitely want to see that.
You definitely want to see cats.
No.
All right.
And I've heard just how bad it is.
To be fair, you have at least a little bit more experience, because I have zero, with theater stuff and that kind of world.
I did go to school for that.
Yeah.
Well, technically I went to school for film acting, right. But there were also theater classes
and
theater in high school.
So... I guess, have you ever seen the original theater play, Cats?
To be fair, I'm not trying to say things like that and come off a certain way, because I only went for a semester. I'm not trying to be like, I know everything.
Gosh, he is just a theater aficionado.
Definitely
dude.
Not. In fact, hence us doing this film thing. I've been trying to do film stuff. No, I haven't.
Never seen
and
it.
I don't really care to be honest. And if you're going to do that, just leave them cats, please. Leave them cats. They're
honestly
cats.
I think
cats.
People would have liked it better if it was clearly people
not
in
terrifying.
Cat suits just or like light cat makeup or something like however they
like
do
how
it,
they do it on Broadway.
On Broadway, if they just filmed that, people would have liked it a lot more.
They could have even made it seem like they could have even filmed it to where it's clearly a film, like it's not on stage, mm-hmm. but you make it look like it's almost trying to be a play.
Yeah.
Did you ever see La La Land?
I still haven't seen La La Land.
So you should watch that.
From 2016.
There are a couple scene moments where they do something kind of like that, and it works so well.
Yeah.
They could have done that throughout the entire thing. I say that, and I haven't seen Cats, so maybe they did do that. But my
maybe
point
it's amazing, and everyone's wrong.
No, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad, yeah.
No, well, I guess maybe they're talking about people that haven't seen it, but even the people that have
I'm
seen it.
I'm talking about us. We haven't seen it. I'm saying maybe it's amazing. Maybe it's our favorite movie. We haven't seen it.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, no, we'd hate it.
Yeah, that's it. I was just going to talk about and I will say one of the movie I really want to see, Knives Out. Did you watch Knives Out?
No, I did not watch Knives Out. This is Rian Johnson's most recent departure after The Last Jedi. I have heard good things about it. A lot of people rave about it. A lot of people putting it on their tops of their list for last year. Which is interesting. There's definitely everybody's in it. Every actor. They got everybody to be in it. So, I mean, I was interested to see it as well. You know, it's Rian Johnson, so who knows?
And then another interesting movie that came out. Interesting for only the reasons of the people that are sitting here right now. Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was looking up movies that came out last year, and Ready or Not was one.
Right.
And my name is Tyler Gillette. And if you go and look at the directors, it's like co-directed. One of the directors' names is Tyler Gillette. And for some reason...
Did you direct this movie?
I directed it, and I just didn't want to tell you until we were on our podcast. No, but for some reason...
I'm interviewing the director.
I keep getting tagged in Ready or Not posts. Like, if you go to my Instagram, which is Tyler C. Gillette, and you go to, like, tagged photos, you will see a bunch of stuff that's just, like, Ready or Not movie posters, because they think I directed it. I'm like, if you click on my... And you, if you actually look at my Instagram, you'll know
it wasn't me.
Like,
you know it wasn't
you
me.
You know it wasn't me.
I did not direct the movie.
It's just funny. I don't want to see it, though. I feel like I should see it just for that reason.
I heard some people highly praise it.
It's almost a horror or...
yeah, I mean, it's trying to go down that route. I don't think it'll probably be scary.
And what's the movie? Suspense, thriller? I guess? Thriller? That's the, the word I'm looking for. But it's just... It's not that I hate, like, violence in movies or, like, in general, but, like, it just seems like it's very, like, just all about just killing people and being super gory. And, like, there's only so much... Like, I don't just... I don't want to see somebody like dying and getting stabbed and like their innards like over and over and over.
No, I do.
Cause I just don't. I just don't
love everybody.
Then you can watch it and tell me how it is.
No, that was, what was that movie that came out a few years ago? I think it was called The Green Inferno. I don't know if you ever heard of that one, but it was like, a small group of Americans get lost in some jungle and then this tribe like basically just rips them apart,
right? And the more gruesome you get, it gets to me and it makes me kind of like,
which in all fairness it's probably trying to do that. I don't know if Ready Player or Not is anywhere near that. Like the Green Inferno or any of these like real slasher or really not even slasher like real gore films like a Saw film or you know something even worse than that. Because I don't seek out that super horror stuff either. Like I've never seen The Human Centipede, and I never will. I've never seen a Serbian film, and I never will. A lot of that kind of stuff I have no interest in. But I highly doubt that movie would be that bad. Honestly, I think it'd be like Escape Room, which I just watched, which has a little bit of blood. You know, like
literally the entire premise of this movie is they're hunting each other down and killing them.
Yeah, but they're not gonna like pull each other apart and like eat them or like you know like bathe in their guts or you know anything like
right.
Like these movies can get a lot worse. They're just doing it because from what I saw, they have to. Like they've gotten some kind of like
you know family traditions.
No, it's almost like they got rich because they appeased some like weird dark entity and now it requires them to like sacrifice someone. That's what I thought the movie was about.
When they get married, they have a tradition,
right?
That they have to play a game.
No,
and they spin a thing and it picks the game.
No, but it's deeper than that, I think.
I'm sure it is because I haven't seen it.
Right.
I don't care. It might be. I don't care.
That's what I remember. Could be totally.
So, to wrap it up, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah. Godzilla King of Monsters was my favorite movie of last year. God, that was awful. I was so disappointed. I love Godzilla movies, and man, that was the worst. The worst. Ugh. But we don't have to talk about it. A little bit.
You remember the lady who kept doing that in the movie?
That's right. Oh, God.
We had
there's
this weird
so
inside
weird
joke
things.
Where, like, whatever. I can't even explain
it. No. It's just.
A movie's good.
It was bad.
You know, a movie is bad, good.
I wish it was bad good. I wish it was bad good.
Bad good. Bad good is we can make. Yeah, this is bad.
We were just laughing in the theater because we were
not
so flabbergasted.
Not bad good, like one of those movies where
like
it's so bad. It's funny that I can
you know,
like not bad good to where it's like this is so bad that it's good. Like I can watch it again and laugh with other people. Just bad good where you can have enough jokes that you can laugh about it later. Yeah, maybe that's not bad good. But no, the last question I want to ask you, since this was a very interesting episode, it being like a recap of a lot, because we're going to try to go in depth about a lot of things and not just jump around so much.
Future, yeah.
But we wanted to recap 2019 as best as we could. So now looking to the future, what are you most excited or curious about coming out in 2020?
Gosh, I don't really know right now all of what's slated. Usually, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of the big, these big, you know, trilogy saga, like the Star Wars and Marvel stuff. And, you know, I've been a fan of that stuff for a while now. But now that all that's kind of ending, really what I'm more of a fan of is all the new stuff that I can look forward to coming out, you know, from studios like A24 and stuff like that. Like just all these... kind of making way for the new, you know. I'm hoping that I can watch more new different things and less, you know, trilogy sequel stuff, less, you know what I'm saying, you know, a lot, just, you know, less of this big blockbuster
Yeah.
Marvel
I
stuff.
Just started looking at some of the stuff that is actually coming out to kind of refresh. I am looking forward to the movie Onward. It's a Pixar movie. I know you're not super into Pixar.
But it just seems very different.
Weird, like, fantasy world, like, animated film with Chris Pratt and Tom Holland. I think there was
I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, I think there was...
Elves, right?
There's another movie that I thought I was excited about coming out next year, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, I'm still excited to see 1917, which came out this year in my head. Because that looked good. But for the most part, running into this year blind. I want to see less trailers and I want to just be surprised by more stuff. I want to walk into the theater just trusting something will be good and just be blown away.
Right.
If, you know, the more that that can happen to me, the better, I think.
Sonic? Sonic. Oh. I'm so excited to see Sonic.
Okay, to be fair though, and I've told you this before, really sad that it's not the old Sonic.
That you wish they didn't change it.
Yes. I wish we just got the terrible trash dumpster fire that would have been the old unaltered Sonic. I want that movie because it would have been so awful. But now it'll just probably be fine. Like, I don't really care about Sonic. And if you do, that's great. Like, I know you're more of a fan of Sonic than me.
Really care if that movie's... I never cared if the movie was going to be bad.
Right.
I played a lot of Sonic video games when I was a kid, but I'm just so curious. That's really why I want to see it. Yeah. I'm just curious.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's the first time I think a studio has ever just been like, oh, we're going to completely redo this because no one likes it.
Right.
Right now. Did you hear that they're thinking about, on that note, they're thinking about like re-releasing Cats in a different way because
of that? Yeah, I think that they're not thinking about it. Like, I think they did it doing it. Yeah. Oh, God.
Just leave it. Run away. No,
it's already just going to lose so much money. I don't understand how they're putting more into it to try to save it at this point because it's already come out and theaters are probably already dropping it really quickly because they don't want to keep showing empty theaters. So they'd rather just devote more to Rise of Skywalker, I'm sure. Ugh.
Next year or this coming year with movies, I just want to see more in general.
All in all, 2019, not too bad. Not the best year out of all of them. But I think I was overall pretty happy with how 2019 came out. I don't know if I expressed that well enough. There are movies we didn't get to talk about that I thoroughly enjoyed, but I don't know.
I think there's a lot more movies that came out last year that I will enjoy. I just still need to go back and watch some of them.
Yeah. Fair.
But, fair. You know, give and take. Some are good, some are bad. And that's movies, brother. You just should have left it
enough. Okay. Can we go back to that's music?
It's over. It's over. It's over.
Woo.
We're done.
The ending. This is the end.
Turn it off.
We're ending now.
Goodbye.
All right. Movies. We're done. We're doing movies.